All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Appreciate your interest in God's Word and appreciate you having the desire to be here this morning to study with us. We're going to continue this morning in our study in the book of 1 Timothy. Now, we've been trotting along pretty slow as we go through 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I feel that from my part, at least, it's necessary to understand the groundwork, because I think what you find in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is very important. Paul is laying the foundation for the whole book. So before we were to move forward and understand what's going on in the rest of the book, talking about the practical side of the ministry, without fully understanding what the ministry is founded upon and based upon, that's the point why I feel it's necessary to spend the time and go through and make sure we understand those base things. If we were to just hurry up and go through and get to the point where it's talking about the practical application of the ministry, it would be a bit like the mega churches today that are trying to do the practical ministry part without the foundation at all. But I think that what we're doing here, what Paul is communicating here in 1 Timothy is fascinating. And very, at its rudiment level, at its most base level, important for us to see in how we are to live our lives, what we are to base our lives upon. And I think you'll see a little bit more of that this morning. So turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're in verse number 5. Let's back up to 3, where he's talking about the doctrine. And he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." So a couple of things here as we're going to talk about verse 5 and the charity, the pure heart. You notice that first of all he says the doctrine, and then he says in verse 4 the faith. Because what is faith? Faith is believing in what God said. So the doctrine comes by faith, you respond to that, and when you have the doctrine built into you, what the result should be is what verse 5 is talking about. Charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. But when he says the end of the commandment, I think that there's a bit of confusion here for some about what the end of the commandment means. Some may think that Paul is saying that if you keep the law, you'll have a pure heart. Because sometimes when people hear the word commandment, the first thing they think of is Ten Commandments, Moses, and law. But that's not what he's doing. We'll find out in a few verses that that there's a good and a bad way to use the law, and that the law is not made for believers, but for unbelievers. And so he's not talking about the law here for believers. And I find it interesting that yet others think that the commandment here was just the charge that was given to Timothy, where at the beginning, you know, Paul talks about he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus," that Paul has given this charge for Timothy to stay here and do the work of the ministry. And if he does these things, then this, you know, these will be the results. But that's not it at all. If you look at the fruit at the end of verse 5, a pure heart of good conscience and a faith unfeigned, that seems pretty significant for just staying in one place, right? So then he goes on in verse 6 and he talks about some having swerved and turned aside from this. So how could others have turned aside from a commandment to stay put that was given to Timothy only? So my point is that's not for Timothy to be there. What you'll see in verse 7, it's those who have turned aside are those who desire to be teachers of the law. So what is the commandment being referenced, the end of the commandment in verse 5? Is it the law? It's Paul's doctrine. What he's referring to, the end of the commandment, is Paul's doctrine. You could also think of it as the end result of what the law was to accomplish, but cannot. That's what Paul is referring to here, but it should be the end result of what Paul's doctrine accomplishes in the believer. And so, when you think about that, Paul's talking about the end of the commandment, his doctrine, the revelation of the mystery that grace produces, and these guys are wanting to go back under the weak and beggarly elements of the law. So Paul's talking about my doctrine, the faith to it, and at the end of the commandment is these things that will come, but there's these other people that are wanting to move away from grace and put themselves back under the law, be teachers of the law, and put men under the law. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. This is the talking about the end result of what Paul's doctrine, the doctrine committed unto Paul, should produce in the believer's life. This is not referring to the Ten Commandments or the law. The commandment links to God's purpose for Paul's position and the doctrine committed unto him that Paul had just referenced in verse 3. Teach no other doctrine. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So there's a preaching of Jesus Christ that's according to prophecy, and there's a preaching of Jesus Christ that's according to the revelation of the mystery. The mystery is something that we know that was kept secret, hid in God since the beginning of the world, which was kept secret for how long, does verse 25 say? Since the world began. So if you have somebody who's trying to put you back under the law and teach you prophecy, you know that's different from what Paul was preaching. But now is made manifest. There's a timing aspect. It's made manifest now. It was not made manifest in the past. Now it is. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This revelation of the mystery, which God had kept secret, is now being made manifest according to the commandment of the everlasting God. And so what Paul is saying here is that the doctrine committed unto him for the Gentiles, the doctrine of grace, is the only thing that will give you the power of what to produce the results of what verses 4 and 5 are talking about in 1 Timothy. So it's the issue of Paul's doctrine. If you think about those who are wanting to teach the law, you know that keeping the law is dangerous. When you keep the law, you're in the flesh, not in faith. And Paul had said in 1 Timothy that the godly edifying which is in faith, faith believing what God said, God communicated to Paul, Paul communicates to the nations, the Gentiles, this doctrine. So the law operates by a works-based system, by doing something, but Paul writes that grace motivates out of faith, out of love. The law motivates you out of fear. If you don't do this, you're in trouble. There's motivation, right? Because there was, under the law, the consequences. But the purpose of the command that Paul gave Timothy is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. When he talks about that faith, the motivation being love. So that describes the way that God wants our relationships to operate, and grace is the way that 1 Timothy chapter 5 is manifested in your life. If you try to produce 1 Timothy chapter 5 under a law-based system, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to have a charity out of a pure heart. Why not? Because under law, you're under debt that you owe. And out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. Can a man have a good conscience under the law? The law tells the man that he is guilty and that there's a sacrifice required in order to purge the sin. So this is not produced by the law. Look back at, go back to 1 Timothy if you're not there. And when we're talking about this issue of the commandment, you saw in verse 1 where it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God. So Paul is saying, my ministry, as the apostle to the Gentiles, is by the commandment of God. You saw in Romans chapter 16 that the doctrine he's preaching, it's now by the commandment of God. If you look over at Titus, look over a couple books, Titus chapter 1, verse number 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God commanded that this doctrine that Paul is preaching, that he would be preaching this. There's a commandment. This is a commandment under grace. What Paul is, the outworking of what Paul is doing is the commandment. It's not the law. The law never produced the virtues referred to in verse 5. Only God's grace can do this. How can God's grace do this? Well, over back in Titus, look at Titus chapter 2. How can God's grace produce charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And the grace teaches us something, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's something that grace is teaching us, and it's only through the grace that the end of the commandment that Paul is talking about, the end of what what he's preaching is supposed to be manifested in the life, will produce this. Charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The end of the commandment, Romans chapter 10 tells us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that believes. Christ is the end of the law. Now, I said that the end of the commandment being referenced here is not the law, but it is the end effect of what Paul's doctrine in your life is. But the revelation of the mystery only comes about after the end of the law. We're no longer under law, we're under grace. It's Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for all of the believers today. So there's the commandment is not the end of the law, but it comes about because the law has been ended for us. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And that's what Christ did in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where it says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When it says there that love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law, that's exactly what Christ did for you. He loved another. He loved you. He gave himself for you. And so when we say to be like Christ, there's the sense of what Christ has accomplished, being the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law. Christ did that. Ephesians talks about that. You go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look, go to Ephesians real quick. Hold your hand there in Romans 13 and go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There's the sense of the love being what accomplished the law, the end of the law. Christ is what did that for us. Look at chapter number 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse number 25. No, not number 25. Verse number... Well, the point being is that when you look at what Christ has done, his love wherewith he loved us, and you go back to Romans chapter 13, where he says that to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law, you see that Christ, the pattern that he set, has loved us, has fulfilled the law. It says in in Romans chapter 13, as you read down through verse 8, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not sin, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Christ came, he loved you, he gave himself for you, and now Christ is the end of that law. And what is grace? Grace is taking what Christ has accomplished as the end of the law through his sacrifice on the cross, and grace comes along and is now able to offer that to you freely. And so there's things that are produced by grace in your life and the message of grace. What else is the message of grace than the proclamation of God's great love wherewith he has loved us? The love that it's given to you freely, that's shed abroad in our hearts. There's the issue of charity. So if you have the doctrine working in you, there's the issue of charity. And I thought Pastor Tom did a great job teaching on that in 1 Corinthians. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just to touch on it briefly, but I would direct you back to Tom's teaching on this matter for an in-depth study on that issue of charity. The object of Paul's mandate in verse 3 and 4 of 1 Timothy, and verse 3 being the no other doctrine, and verse 4 that it comes about by the faith believing what the doctrine says, the end result of that is charity. And the scripture says if you don't have charity, you're nothing. You're nothing more than vain jangling, which is what 1 Timothy also references. You know, you just go about talking. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." And if you could read down through those verses, but if you skip down to verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." There's a couple of things I want to bring up here. Number one, the supreme importance above all of the others is the issue of charity. And there's, what is the motivation for what you're doing? If the motivation is reward, then there's no reward. If you're doing it out of obligation, if you're doing it out of law, if you're doing it because it's Christ's life being lived out through you, that's where the reward comes from. So when you think about charity, is it the life of Christ living through you because your faith is resting in understanding what grace has accomplished for you? Is it the love motivation, or are you doing it, you know, for gain or for yourself? If you think about, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. When you think about what charity is, I think there's a bit of a definition here that you can see. Look at verse number 3. He says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." You see that? The work of faith, the labor of love. You know, the issue of charity is not about yourself. The issue of charity is not getting some doctrine, having some information, and then sitting back and just saying, you know, I'm good. Charity is putting Christ's life on display and having the will of Christ work out through your life. And so there's this issue of a work of faith, a labor of love. There's work to be done. It's not work under the law. It's work out of love. It's charity working in your life. And the labor of love there compares to charity. It's love in action. It's love performing that which the love of Christ is designed to perform. Because if you have the love of Christ, are you going to, you know, the kids' song, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. If you have that love of Christ, is it something that you're just going to keep contained? The love of Christ working out through you motivates you in that labor of love in your day-to-day life. Being that minister of reconciliation, wanting other people to come to the knowledge of the truth. But how is it that charity, if you go to 1 Timothy, how is it that charity is linked with the other things that he talks about in verse 5? The end of the commandment. If you understand grace, if you understand Paul's doctrine, if you understand, Timothy, the end of what our message is, the end of that is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. How is it that charity is linked to the others? Because when you think about doctrine, you're familiar with the word edification, how the doctrine works in the believer. It edifies the person. Edification is to produce charity. Charity being the goal of the Christian life. That Christian life is when you understand God's grace and understand the doctrine there, your inner man is built up, and that doctrine is working out through you, and that will produce charity. That's the end result, but you're not going to have that without the edification. So godly edification is not just to give you some doctrine. We've talked about that before, right? I think we talked about that when we looked at no other doctrine. It's not just collecting a bunch of theological statements. It's not about like putting down your doctrinal belief in a doctrinal statement and just having information. It's not about that at all. That edification, the doctrine and the edification that comes from it is the means to a goal. The goal is charity. The goal is not learning. The goal is not to have knowledge. The end result of the goal is charity. The end of the commandment is charity. That's the goal. If you stop with the learning, then have you gotten to where you need to be? No. There are some people that you may know of, and when I say this statement, maybe somebody will pop into your head. And you can find that regardless of what a doctrinal belief system people find themselves in. But there are some people that are just out for the learning and the knowledge. And they get that, and they're puffed up. The knowledge is not the end result. Rightly dividing the word of truth is not the end result. Rightly dividing the word of truth, understanding Paul's doctrine, is the conduit, is the means by which you get to an edified, mature, spiritual, inner man that produces what Paul is talking about here. Charity. A pure heart. A good conscience. Faith unfeigned. So you don't beat other people over the head with the doctrine. You use it as the tool to produce that godly edification in their life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse number 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Getting a bunch of Bible doctrine is not charity. But you can't get to the charity unless you have the right doctrine. Does that make sense? Because there are people who don't understand grace that are going out to try to be charitable to other people, and what are they doing? They're doing something in the flesh. I want to be good to others so that God will be good to me. You know, going out, feeding the hungry, feeding, you know, things like this that they're doing of themselves, which in and of themselves are not bad things, but the charity comes as a result, the right charity comes as a result of the right doctrine. Charity is not just a love, like a warm feeling and being good to one another. Charity is the ability to look at something and see something the way that God sees it. And being in having Christ's mind, being, you know, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. It's being like Christ and having the right doctrine and being able to understand things and viewing things. When he talks about conscience, having that conscience working in you, understanding and seeing how God sees things and working upon that premise and having the right information. If you do what Paul says, it results in charity with a heart that has a single-minded focus that reflects God's thinking. And you'll be walking by faith, and this is the life of Christ working through you. You're living your life by faith on how God sees things. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that charity is not puffed up. When you have knowledge, you are puffed up. It is because if you're puffed up when you have knowledge, it's because you have the knowledge without the charity. And so the end result is you're looking for the charity. He says in 1 Corinthians 13, if you have knowledge, but the charity, it profits you nothing. There's no spiritual profit if the knowledge doesn't produce its intended goal. Turn over to Acts chapter 15. Because in 1 Timothy he says, charity out of a pure heart. And what's interesting is when he says out of, what that phrase tells you is that when you see that word out of, it tells you that there's a process there, right? If there's something that's coming out of, there's a process. It's where the information is going to be processed through you, through your inner man, through your spiritual man. A pure heart leads to a good conscience, and a good conscience leads to faith unfeigned. See the process there? Charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. There's a process. So when you think about a pure heart, how is it that you get one of these pure hearts? How do you stumble upon one of these? Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. The purification is by faith. How is it that the heart is purified? It's purified by faith. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. In Acts chapter 15, Paul comes up to Jerusalem, and they're talking about whether the Gentile believers have to keep the law and circumcise in order to be saved. And there's much dispute, and Peter stands up, and I mean, there's an issue of doctrinal tension here, and you have those who are saying that it's necessary to keep the law, and Paul is saying, that's not what I'm preaching, that's not what my message is, it's grace. And Peter stands up after the debate was going on, and he's looking at the issue of, is the law required? And he talks about how, he says, and God, in verse 8, and God, who knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. He says, when I went to Cornelius' house, God bear witness, knowing their hearts, and gave them the Holy Ghost. You know, the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost, so I can see how what Paul is saying is right. And as he's thinking about the context of the law, he says, God put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. How do you get a pure heart? Purifying their heart by faith. I know I say it over and over again, but the issue of faith, people today, we have to say it over and over again because people today want to redefine faith. Faith is being, oh, you stupid people who believe in God, faith is having something that is blind. You know, you have no evidence for it, you don't, and you just believe something. The issue of faith is believing what God said. So how are you going to have a pure heart? If you believe what God says and you take His words into you, it purifies your mind, because then your mind becomes Christ-like, and it purifies your heart. When you think of the heart, and maybe we'll get into that next week because we need to end now, but the issue of that pure heart, you have to be on guard with your heart. The things that you think and the things that you let come into your mind, that's who you are. And so the purification is, it talks about the mind that you have. You need to let that work based upon what God says, based upon the right doctrine. And then that's what flows out of a man's heart. And if you don't put the right doctrine in, what are you going to get out of your heart? Is it going to be a pure heart? I think not. How can you have a pure heart if you don't have faith, if you're not believing in what God said? It's impossible. So Peter brings up the issue of the law there, but in 1 Timothy, he's talking about the end of the commandment, faith believing what God says, and that is the end result of what is to be produced out of Paul's doctrine. The end of the commandment, the end of the doctrine of grace working in your inner man, is the issue of charity, which leads to a pure heart, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. There's a process there. We'll look at a few more verses next week to see how that process takes shape in the hearts of believers. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for your word, Lord. We're thankful for the words that you've communicated on the page, Lord, that we're able to take in, and Lord, that edifies each and every one of us individually. But we come together as a local body of believers, Lord, for the work and the purpose of the ministry. Lord, we pray that we would be attentive to your word, to the things of God in our lives, Lord, that we would be motivated out of a heart of love and not out of fear. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us on the cross, giving us life in your Son freely. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.